Okay, let's all turn to the third message under the tab fruit bearing, and then let's quickly open up our Bibles to John 15, and we can read verses 1 to 5 together, okay? Everyone got it? Message 3, John 15, 1 to 5. Ready to read it together? Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. Well, I know we read these verses previously, but I wanted to read them again. I was really impressed Tuesday morning when we read these verses together, and to see that God chose to use a vine tree. You know, God chose to use a vine tree to portray the preaching of the gospel, right? The gospel of John, which is the gospel of life, is the last of the four gospels. We know this, right? And so as David mentioned, in a sense, you can say that John had the final word regarding the preaching of the gospel, right? In the other gospels, it was presented somewhat as a work, somewhat as an activity, as the Lord sent out the disciples. But John's word on the preaching of the gospel is not a word related to a certain kind of activity or a certain kind of work. Rather, John's word portrays a marvelous picture, right? This is a picture of the triune God, joined to, mingled and incorporated with, redeemed and regenerated man to gain man through the enjoyment and the overflow of the riches of Christ's life. For Christ's increase, Christ's enlargement, and Christ's multiplication, all of which is typified by this vine tree bearing fruit. Isn't this wonderful? I want you all to be impressed with this. Let me say this again, okay? John's word on the preaching of the gospel is the triune God joined to, mingled and incorporated with man to gain man through the enjoyment and the overflow of the riches of Christ's life. This is for Christ's increase, Christ's enlargement, and Christ's multiplication. And all of this is typified by a vine tree bearing fruit. So what we see here with this vine tree, and according to John 15:1, the true vine with its branches, which again is Christ with the believers, is the organism of the triune God. John 15 presents a picture of the organism of the triune God. And a true vine, as an organism of the triune God, is altogether a matter of life for the dispensing of life, right? This is a matter of life for the dispensing of life, right? And so what this is in contrast to is any sort of organization, any kind of gospel work, any kind of gospel activity, but again, is altogether a matter of life for the dispensing of life, and even is wrapped up with the proper Christian life. So this is what we kind of want to see, you know. And so this is kind of the burden of this whole line of fellowship, right? Again, this is not a gospel activity or a gospel work. This is simply living a fruit-bearing life. Lord, we want to live a fruit-bearing life. You know, brothers and sisters, we're not standing up here trying to stir y'all up to do some kind of gospel activity, or to get engaged in some kind of gospel work. I want you to be impressed that God chose to use a vine tree to present the preaching of the gospel. You know what you are sitting here? Your branches abiding in the vine. And there's only one vine, right? We might be on different campuses, different localities, different cities, different states, different countries, but you're just a branch abiding in the one vine. And this vine has a desire, which is to grow, to enlarge, to spread out. He wants to spread out on your college campuses. And his way is through you as branches abiding in him. Isn't this wonderful? Doesn't this change our concept of preaching the gospel? Right? We get so anxious that we have to do some kind of activity, that we need to get engaged in some kind of work. But really what the Lord desires and what we want to see in this message is God just needs branches living a proper Christian life. But a key word here is proper. So we're going to get into that a little bit, okay? But before we do, I just want to mention again, related to this matter of proper, right? We heard yesterday that as those branches living an abiding life in the vine, sometimes, and I believe this is all our experience, sometimes there's insulation between us and the Lord, right? Sometimes there's something within that cuts off the flow from the vine into us, the branches. So, you know, like vine trees, like literal, actual vine trees, we also need to experience something that the Bible mentions and calls pruning. Pruning, okay? And pruning is for a proper Christian life. So let me just read John 15:2 again. This is the second half of it. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So in this part of the verse, we want to see who is he and what does it mean to be pruned, right? Well, on the topic of knowing God, the he in verse 2 is the Father in verse 1. And the Father is also the husbandman. So if you want to know God, you need to know God, the Father, as the husbandman who has the authority and the right to prune the branches. Now, this word husbandman, it can also be translated as farmer and also as gardener, okay? And so he is the one doing the pruning. So that brings us to another question. What is pruning? Well, you know, we may not all be too familiar, and I don't want to get into a lecture in biology. But I did want to read you all some definitions that I found online and from some gardening websites related to pruning so that we can have an appreciation and a proper understanding of what it means to prune. Okay, so this is just a definition to prune. And while I read these definitions, please don't take this just as knowledge. Receive these definitions with your spirit and even with a view of what God's desire is, okay? Receive it with the context of John 15. So to prune means to trim a tree, shrub, or bush by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness, right? To prune means to remove superfluous or unwanted parts. Okay, another definition. If left unpruned, fruit trees may struggle in growth. More importantly, unpruned trees take longer to bear fruit. Maintenance pruning is good, right? Maintenance pruning. We need maintenance pruning. Maintenance pruning is also a way to keep plants healthy and productive. By thoughtfully cutting back tips, branches, limbs, and stems, you can also encourage youthful growth that produces abundant fruit. Isn't that good? Pruning. So this is pruning, right? Pruning is the cutting away of dead or superfluous branches to stimulate growth, to keep keep plants healthy and productive, and most importantly, to encourage youthful growth that produces fruit. Amen. Okay, so kind of now to see this a little bit more in a spiritual context, let's go to the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together, and then maybe we can have the sisters on point A. Okay. Sorry. Let's read the title together, and then we'll have the brothers on Roman numeral 1 and the sisters on point A. To be new, fresh, and tender branches. Amen. Right. So I want you all to maybe circle a couple of these words, right? Deal, right? Deal with the Lord. Pruned. These are somewhat synonyms in this outline. And the goal of dealing with the Lord and being pruned is that we could be new, fresh, and tender branches, right? Ultimately, for the bearing of fruit, okay? So, like with the branches of an actual vine tree, and again, I would just ask you to consider your experience. There is a tendency in our Christian life to become stale, to become old, and even to become dead, right? Therefore, God the Father, as the husbandman, his desire and his need is to prune us, to trim away all the oldness and all the deadness, right? Because all the oldness and all the deadness within, anything that's stale, anything that's old, frustrates the flow of life from the vine into the branch, and ultimately, you know, it limits our productivity, so to speak, right? And it limits the bearing of fruit. Okay, so again, this is the goal, right? Dealing with the Lord and being pruned for the bearing of fruit. So again, what does it mean, though, to be pruned practically in our experience, right? Well, practically, to be pruned is to allow the Lord to show us our defects, our failures, our wrongdoings, so that we can make a thorough confession, right? Let me read that again, right? Our need to be pruned is to allow the Lord to show us our defects, our failures, and our wrongdoings. Not so that we become introspective, right? Not so that we become introspective, but so that we can have a thorough confession. A thorough confession, right? So on God's side, as the Father and as the husbandman, He is doing the pruning work, right? But on our side, it's our dealing with the Lord and making a thorough confession. Actually, our confession completes the Father's pruning, right? Our confession to the Father's exposing and His work of pruning is our cooperation with Him and completes the pruning. And our confession also is the actual and practical pruning, right? This enables us to be new, fresh, and tender branches to bear fruit, right? So I just want to ask you, right, just to consider within yourself, how much do you confess, right? How much do you allow the Lord to shine? And according to what the Lord shines, how often are you confessing those things, right? Praise the Lord, we're here in a training. This is a wonderful opportunity in a wonderful atmosphere, with a lot of supply and a lot of light, right? And I believe the Lord is touching us about many things, right? I can testify, even last night, as Brother Mark was sharing, I was full of repentance. Even I wept regarding this verse, Romans 9:20. How dare I challenge the Lord, my God, who is the potter, right? Who has the authority, right? How dare I, right? And the Lord brought to mind many specific instances, right? How about our confession? How about our confession, right? You know, it's not just our enjoying the Lord, right? But it's also, you know, a very practical aspect of our Christian life is our opening and confessing, allowing the Father to prune, and our cooperating by confessing what the Lord shines on us. Okay, so, but again, just to put this in the context of fruit bearing, we have a testimony. So at this point, maybe Elijah can come up, and he's going to share a little bit of his experience of dealing with the Lord, being pruned, so that he can be a new, fresh, and tender branch for the bearing of fruit. Here, you can step forward, and then just stand close to the mic.
Amen. Can y'all hear me? So hi, everybody. My name is Elijah. I just graduated from UCLA, and I'm quite thankful to say that I will be going to the FTTA in the fall.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'd like to share you part of my testimony regarding being pruned and dealing with the Lord and allowing the Lord to deal with me. And so this testimony kind of begins a couple months before the end of my junior year when I was attending the team reunion. I don't know if you all know what that is, but it's pretty much a conference to really just enliven the Lord's work on the campuses. And there was a line that was spoken in the team reunion that really stuck out to me. And what the line said was, a college student can do more for the gospel work in his 4 years than a Christian can do in the rest of his life combined. Wow. And at that point, you know, I was coming to the end of my junior year, and I really went back and I prayed, and I was like, Lord, you know, I had some measure of fruit, but I only had one more year of university left. And I came to the realization, Lord, it's not enough. You haven't gained enough fruit. You can gain so much more. And I just spoke that line by faith. I can do more for the gospel in my 4 years of college than any other years of my life. So what I did was, with that line in mind, every single night, and I mean every single night, for probably the next 6 months, what I did was I got on my knees on my bed. You know, Ephesians 3:14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Saints, if you really mean business about something with the Lord, it's important that you would occasionally bow your knees. And I just got on my knees every night and I said, Lord, I want to bear fruit for you.
Amen.
Lord, if there's anything on my part that's insulating you from being able to flow through me, I beg you, expose it. Lord, if there's any shortage on my part, expose it. Lord, I want you to have a way to bear fruit through me. And I prayed prayers like that every night for a long, long time. And you could just say, in a sense, I was really, really desperate to bear fruit because I only had one more year of college. So to those of you who are underclassmen, I tell you, you're lucky. You still have many years left in university. Don't waste it.
Yeah.
To those of you who are coming to your senior year, do the same thing that I did.
Amen.
Really, go before the Lord and seek to be pruned.
Amen.
Check with Him. What's insulating me? What's preventing me from bearing fruit? Anyway, really long story short, I just kept praying in this way. I kept dealing with the Lord. I kept confessing, because believe it, when you ask the Lord for light, He shines.
Amen.
And there are a lot of parts of my being and my disposition, habits, this and that He shined. And one by one, because I was desperate to bear fruit, I cooperated with Him. I said, amen, Lord, you don't like me doing that? Okay, I'll stop doing that.
Amen,
Lord, I said that the other day. Okay, I won't say that anymore. And amen, over time, I was being pruned more and more. And I have to say, it's not like one day I woke up and then suddenly there were a lot of fruit in my room. Okay, here, where are the fruit? This is a lengthy process, and it requires diligence, because I don't believe being pruned is a five-minute process.
Right.
There's that maintenance pruning that requires a lengthy period of time. And that's the whole me praying for that period of time. And I have to say, at the end of that period of time, by the end of my fall quarter of my senior year, the Lord was faithful to answer my prayer. I didn't gain just one fruit. The Lord wasn't able just to gain two, like I had asked. But actually, by the end of my fall quarter, I had six that I was taking care of.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to point any attention to myself. I really didn't do anything. All I did was open to the Lord to be pruned. And at some point, we have to ask ourselves as college students, well, I guess I'm not a college student anymore, but you have to ask yourself as college students, Lord, the same thing can happen to me. And it's so true that all you really need, all the Lord needs, it's like he's searching, okay? He's looking at all of you, and He's just looking, okay, who's open? Who's willing to be pruned so that they can bear fruit? And then he's just waiting to bear fruit through you. And as soon as he sees someone open that's just saying, Lord, expose me so I can bear fruit, he'll say, there he is. That's one. I can use him. And the extent to which you're open is the extent to which he can bear fruit through you. Amen. And I just have to emphasize again, all I did was open. I didn't labor. I didn't struggle. I didn't strive. Every night and every morning, I was just faithful to pray, Lord, expose my lack. Lord, prune me as you see fit so you can bear fruit for your testimony.
Amen.
So amen, saints. Let's all be open to the pruning of the Lord.
Amen.
So he can bear fruit through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Elijah. Praise the Lord. Doesn't he seem new, fresh, tender? So sweet. What a sweet testimony. Okay, I'm going to have to pick up the pace a little bit, maybe prune my preparation a little bit because take care of the time. But amen. So anyway, I just really appreciated, you know, Elijah's experience. You know, he really went before the Lord, really sought to be open, allowed the Lord to shine on his situation, was willing to deal with and cooperate with the Lord regarding whatever. And the issue of that was something very normal, something very spontaneous, and even as he described it, something very effortless, right? Amen. Okay, so let's keep going on. So point B, I'll read that. We must all go to the Lord to deal with him. This is the meaning of being pruned. I just want to give you a definition real quick of dealing. This is actually from a ministry book by Brother Witness Lee called The Experience of Life. Anyway, just to help you a little bit. Again, it's along the same lines of what we've been fellowshipping. Dealing implies that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to purge away all the difficulties that hinder the growth in life. Okay? I'll read that again. Dealing implies that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to purge away all the difficulties that hinder the growth in life. Okay? And then why don't we have sisters read one? Amen. Let's have the sisters read that again. Exercise. Amen. And brothers, too. Opening ourselves and presenting ourselves to him without any covering for the self. We should say, Lord, here I am. Come to enlighten me. Shine upon me. Let's all read that prayer together. Lord, here I am. Come to enlighten me. Shine upon me. Amen. And then the verse reference here is 1 John 1:5. Let's all declare that together. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you. Amen. Amen. God is light. God is light. You want to know God? You need to know the God who is light. The God who shines. The God who enlightens. The God who exposes. For our thorough confession. The burden here is that we would go to God and we would give God the ground. This is not to now sit here and come up with a list of how terrible you think you are and just get into introspection, right? That is not the point, right? Again, this is an organism. This is a vine tree. This is altogether a matter of life. And as we go to the Lord and exercise our spirit, we need to allow the Lord by life to shine and to expose. But under his shining and exposing, we need to confess what the Lord shines upon, right? We need to know the God who is light. I was reminded of Psalm 36:9, right? In your light, we see light, right? It's only under the true light. It's only under the God who is light that we can really see the true nature of things, including our true condition, right? You know, and as we go to the Lord and as we're enlightened, there should be a sense within, I need to be cleansed. I need to be washed. I'm not as clean as I thought I was. Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. What about this? What about that? Maybe in recent, you know, maybe in recent memory, maybe the Lord will even bring up things from the past. Are we willing to deal with these things, right? You know, actually, this word prunes in verse 2 can be literally translated as cleanses. And that's something. The pruning is the cleansing when we cooperate with it. So I'll read you the verse again. This is from the Amplified. This is verse 2, 15:2. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Isn't that good? That's the Amplified, right? So the Father's work as the husbandman is a cleansing. It's a repeated pruning so that we can bear fruit that is richer and more excellent fruit. As we're dealt with, the Lord's life flowing in us can flow out in a richer way, and we can bear fruit that is according to the kind of person that the Lord is causing us to become, right? So this is tremendous. Anyway, so this needs to be our continuous experience, confessing under his shining and enlightening, and then being washed and being cleansed, okay? So let's read, I'll read point three. All our worldly, fleshly, and natural desires, likes, attractions, and addictions need to be pruned. Then we will become fresh, new, and tender. And we'll have a brother come up in a minute, but I just want to mention, you know, I really appreciated our brother Emmanuel's word in the past message. And I didn't realize he was going to share on the things he shared, and I don't have the time, so I won't go too much into it. But I, too, had the feeling before the Lord to touch these things, you know. Again, this being a training, we're here not only to know God, but we need to expose Satan. And we shouldn't be so lax regarding some of the habits and some of the likes and some of the things that we've picked up in our living, right? Again, a large burden of this message is to have a proper Christian living, right? And so, you know, Emmanuel mentioned our cell phones, right? And I have to, you know, I'm the first to be pruned. I'm the first to have the Lord shining and enlightening. I'm the first to confess, right? This is not a word of condemnation. I absolutely empathize and sympathize with all these things, right? And realize that the enemy's attack is strong, but it's also subtle, right? And so our matter of dealing with the Lord is not merely related to the sinful, filthy things. Although, if there are sinful and filthy things in our lives, students, I would encourage you, I would even plead with you, take the time, even today, even after the meeting, and deal with it. Amen. Don't let it go on any longer. Amen. Don't justify yourself. If the Lord is shining, go to him and ask him for forgiveness. Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. Ask to be washed. Ask to be cleansed so that you can be new, fresh, and tender, right? We all know what can come across the screens of our cell phones. We all know. And the problems that I'm speaking of, I don't want to utter it, they're not gender-specific problems. These are problems that affect both males and females, right? And so, young people, be careful, right? Be careful, right? And if the Lord is shining, deal with it, okay? Okay, forgive me, you know? I just want to say that, you know? I just want to take the opportunity to say that, right? But then beyond that, right? Even the things that aren't grossly sinful, even beyond the things that aren't filthy, what else are we looking at on our phones? So again, I'll just testify something of my experience, you know? I have a news app. It's a news app, right? But my looking at it, it just consumes my time, right? I say to myself, I'm just going to see what's going on in the world today, right? That's important. That's necessary, especially as believers, to know what's happening in the world today. But suddenly 5 minutes becomes 20 minutes. 20 minutes becomes 45 minutes, right? One link leads off to another link, leads off to another link, leads to a video, leads to another app. And you just get snared. You get entangled. And afterwards, your time has been lost, right? And you're deadened, right? Not so much freshness, right? Not so much livingness, right? Not so much desire to pray or to speak forth the Lord, right? So I hope this isn't too much. And I hope it's okay that I'm sharing this. But, you know, I hope that we could all look at point three and really consider worldly, fleshly, natural desires, likes, attractions, and addictions, right? You know, I'd like to mention this, and I think probably there'll be more talk about this, but, you know, a lot of these outlines come from this book, The Normal Way of Fruit-Bearing and Shepherding, and the building up of the church. And our brother in this portion, he mentions things like shopping, right? Seems so trivial, right? But what about shopping, right? He addresses the sisters regarding shopping, but I have to say, in this age, that's a word for the brothers and the sisters. Shopping, right? Our hair, our clothing, right? These aren't trivial things, right? We need to go to the Lord, you know? What about these things, right? If the Lord is shining, if the Lord is not shining, be at peace. But if the Lord is shining, isn't it worthwhile that we would deal with the Lord, especially this week at the training? Okay, so maybe Jalen can come up right now, and Jalen has a very sweet testimony related to this. So I hope you all could really pay attention, be exercised, and hear our brother.
All right, hello, okay. Hi, I'm Jalen Chavez. I'm going to be a fourth year at UCI studying criminology. And I just wanted to share my testimony on my experience with dealing with the Lord and pruning. So I've been a part of the Christian club on UCI's campus since my freshman year. And since then, I've been enjoying so much with all the saints there. But it wasn't until my junior year that I experienced my first dealing with the Lord. So one of my favorite hobbies that I really enjoy doing is playing video games. It's something I just really enjoyed since I was a little kid. But I didn't realize how much time it was taking away from my day. Like, a few hours could go by and I would scarcely even recognize it. And then also I began to realize that it would start to invade my thoughts. Like, especially when I go to home meetings or meet with the brothers or the Sunday fellowships. And all I could think of was, like, what I was doing with the game, or I can't wait to get back to it. And it would limit my enjoyment of the Lord and the enjoyment of the saints. Then one Sunday fellowship, one of the older brothers gave a message about, like, making sacrifices to the Lord and cutting away things that may intrude upon his enjoyment of him. And right then, the Lord just shone down on me and highlighted, like, what was hindering my spiritual growth, and that it was the video games I enjoyed playing. And that message just, like, struck me right there and right there. When I went home, I couldn't even touch my video games. That's how shaken I was. So I just was mused upon it for like a day, and then I brought it up to one of the older brothers to just share my confliction with him. And he told me to bring it to the Lord, to spend time in the Spirit, and to allow God to reveal his dealing with me. And so I did, and it was a hard experience. That's the thing about pruning. It's really not going to be an easy experience. But in the end, I allowed the Lord to deal with me, and I just got rid of the games that took away my time from him. Amen. And I admit, it was the first couple weeks were a bit difficult. I didn't have any didn't have much to occupy my time with. But what it did, it was it allowed me to focus more on God, to focus more on enjoying Him, and to enjoying my time with the saints. And I confess here that I was a bit hesitant to come up here and speak because there are still some things that the Lord is having me deal with even today. And I just thought, Lord, I'm not qualified to do this. I'm still being dealt with. But He revealed to me that when you prune a tree, you don't prune it just once and that's it.
Right.
You're going to have multiple prunings in your life.
Amen.
And that shouldn't discourage you. That doesn't mean you're a bad Christian to have these dealings. It just means you're sensitive to God and you're sensitive to His dealings.
Amen.
So, saints, I just encourage you to allow God to shine on you and to have His dealing with you.
Amen.
It'll be painful, but it'll be worth it in the end.
Amen. Thank you, Jalen. Hallelujah. Isn't that so good? It just means that we're sensitive to God. You know, light is so wonderful, right? I know there's a heaviness to this message, but light is so wonderful, right? And our God is light. And He desires that we could be those that live and walk in our God who is a realm of light, shining and allowing us to deal with Him so that we can gain more of God, right? So that we have less that hinders us, less that frustrates us, and more room in our being to enjoy God. Amen. So let's quickly read Roman numeral 2 and point A together, and then we'll let JP come up and finish. We need to deal with all the hindrances to have... Sorry, JP.
Amen. It's so good to see this picture of the organic vine. And who are we? We are just the branches. How about we just declare to the ones next to us, I'm a branch in the vine. Amen. We are branches in the vine, but what kind of branches are we? Are we old? Are we dried up? Are we shriveled up? Or are we fresh, new, and living? What's our condition before the Lord? Are we dead? Or are we living? And to be living actually means to be fruit-bearing. A normal Christian life, a proper Christian living, is a fruit-bearing life. When we're not bearing fruit, that is an indication that we are abnormal branches. But this is not a matter of work, as Ben pointed out. It is not a matter of our endeavoring, our willing, our trying to do better, but it is a matter of going to the Lord, dealing with the Lord, and going to Him so that we can have a proper Christian living. And I just can't help but be reminded of a brother from my home meeting. He's a retired brother, so physically he's old. But in spiritual age, our physical age doesn't matter. Our freshness in our spiritual age, it depends on how much we go to the Lord. And this brother who's retired, he's very soft-spoken in his disposition. He doesn't like to say much, but when he goes to the pharmacy, he goes to the mechanic, everywhere he goes, he just tells them about the Lord Jesus. And every Friday, he just tells us his testimonies of these ones receiving the Lord and receiving salvation. And I just ask the Lord, how can this brother who's so old and not even in his disposition to speak, how can he have so much stories? It's because he constantly deals with the Lord. He constantly asks the Lord, what is a hindrance? And even he goes against his very self, his very disposition, so that life, the life within him, the Christ within him, would be able to flow out to others. Amen. So how about we just have the sisters read point B under 2, and then brothers follow with C. brothers, see. Amen. So from that point, see, there's this phrase here, mean business with Him. If we mean business with the Lord, when we open to Him and He shines on us, all we do is we just accept what He shines on. Amen. Right? If we have a business and there's something wrong with our business, it's going bankrupt, we would do everything we can to investigate, to find out what's wrong with my business. If we mean business with the Lord, we would be willing to be investigated by Him, to be shined on Him, to be tested by Him, so that anything that hinders Him would be able to be cut off, so that He would be able to produce fruit through us. And we'll have our sister Sylvia share, and I hope she can keep it a little shorter. Sorry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sylvia, and I just graduated from UC Irvine. As a music major, that was my major. So this point really talks about constantly being one with Him, and I think that was my experience throughout college. There really was a lot of pruning throughout for me to become one with the Lord. I'd like to share John 15:5 with you. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Well, one thing I did to be one with the Lord, in the most simplest sense, because I was fearful of preaching the gospel, I was really carrying and passing out tracts. And I did that wherever I went. Like, this was my senior year. When I was riding my Uber, I'd pass a tract to the Uber driver, or speak my experience to my classmates, and also invite my coworkers to home meetings. And I think these things wouldn't have been coming out of me if it wasn't for the Lord's pruning. I think the Lord's pruning really started my sophomore year when I decided to move into the sister's house. There were two things I was against while moving in. The first one was being part of a fraternity or sorority. I really wanted to be part of a new music fraternity that was starting, but I didn't. And I'm like, Lord, I follow you. And I really appreciate that definition, dealing, which comes from the Experience of Life book. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to purge away all difficulties that hinder the growth in life. The next one was really one that's really similar to the one we have, one of the guidelines we have here. These 7 days are separated unto the Lord. No one should use this time for promoting social relationships. Rather, let us cultivate an atmosphere of prayer, fellowship in life, and seeking the Lord. So those two things were the things that really bugged me from moving into the sister's house. But I did, because I follow the Lord and I love Him. And I really enjoyed the Lord so much that year. Then my junior year, I wanted to have more opportunity in the orchestra, and I didn't. I did get in, but I hardly even performed with them. I also wanted to be an RA, and I got rejected. I also wanted to be a peer academic advisor, and I got rejected for all of that. And that really was painful to my soul. I think it was almost humiliating at times. But it really is the Lord's sovereign arrangement. You know, He is pruning us so that we may actually bear fruit, so that we may be new, fresh to Him. And so all of these things just made me realize that the Lord just, I am of the Lord, and He wants to use me to bear fruit wherever I go. So my senior year, I had more of a heart for the Lord's things on campus. I was more open to passing out tracts during the tabling on campus. I was no longer fearful to lose my face. I did it because I was one with the Lord. That's what He wants. Go and disciple the nations. Amen. And we just have to be those that cooperate with Him, that are Amen. One with Him in this way.
Amen. We just have to cooperate with the Lord. Amen. When we cooperate with the Lord, we become one with Him. And how about we read point D together with a strong spirit? If we go along with the Lord's exposing and enlightening, and we have a thorough dealing with Him, we will be fruitful. How about we declare the first four words together? If we go along. Another definition of dealing with the Lord is we just go along. Sometimes, as Ben mentioned, when we go to the Lord, we already have a list of what we think is wrong with us. But actually, we're not the husbandman. We're not the one pruning. And even we're not the light. God is light. And when we come to the Lord, we might think he needs to shine on, maybe I didn't try hard enough. Maybe we promised the Lord, I'm going to promise harder next time. I'm going to go for an hour on the gospel. And that's what we want the Lord to shine on. But actually, if we simply open to the Lord, the things that He will shine on will be very specific things regarding our Christian living. And I'll just speak from my experience. When I open to the Lord, the things He touches are your haircut. You didn't comb your hair today. Or even the clothes you're wearing is not a proper representation of me. These are the very specific things that the Lord shines on so that He would remove those hindrances so He would have a proper channel for Him to be able to flow out. And even as we go to the Lord, sometimes what He shines on is our good intentions. That we have good intentions for our friends to be saved, for these things, but He shines even on our good intentions because the Lord cares more about us than the work. Amen. And what happens when He prunes? He shines, right? He shines. And what's our response? We just have to learn to go along. And what does it mean to go along? To go along means to just say, Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord, my haircut is too short. Lord, next time I'll get a longer haircut. Or, yes, Lord, I will wash my dishes. And I'll just share one quick experience. I was going to campus, ready to preach the gospel and read the Bible with some students. And I already walked out of my house, and I already was a block away and crossed across and crossed the street twice. But the Lord reminded me, you didn't do your dishes. And I was already running late. The brother was already waiting for me. So I had to cross the street twice again. So I made a full circle. I crossed all four crosswalks on that intersection. And I went home and had to wash my dishes. And as I was washing my dishes, I was being washed inwardly. Amen. And that released me to preach the gospel to the ones on campus. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. All right, so how about we read point three together? Amen. We need to deal with our natural disposition. When we go to the Lord about this matter of fruit bearing, it becomes a test to us. It becomes a test mainly for, number one, our disposition, and number two, regarding our time, how we use our time. So with our disposition, it tests us in our flexibility. Are we flexible? And then with our time, are we available? I have, there's a sister that has a testimony. I hope, oh Lord. How about we have Phoebe come up?
Okay, I'll keep this short. My name's Phoebe. I'm a senior at UCLA, and this is a very small experience I had of being adjusted in my concept of reading the Bible with a new one. So naturally, my disposition is pretty responsible, pretty diligent, pretty regimented. So last fall, I met a freshman who was open, very open to the church life, and she wanted to start reading Ephesians with me. So of course, I said yes, and in winter, we started going through Ephesians in a very familiar schedule, I think you all know. It's the one chapter a day, texting each other our enjoyment once a day. But Ephesians only has 6 chapters, so within a week we were done. And I, at the end of that, even though we had finished, I didn't feel like I was nourished or supplied. And that means that she definitely wasn't nourished or supplied. And after fellowshipping with some saints on how to care for this one, they suggested that I read half a chapter with her and get into the footnotes instead of just blitzing through a whole chapter a day. So I brought this up to her, and in mid-spring, we started going through Galatians in this way. And admittedly, I had very high expectations of how this was going to go. I thought we were going to gain really high revelations, and she was going to be, you know, a long-term fruit. But instead, she stopped responding to my messages after a couple of days. And this really discouraged me, and I began to consider what was it that made her do this, and why has this happened to me before? Because it's happened many times before. Oh, yes. Sorry. So as I began to consider what was it that I did that made these ones fall away, I realized that I got stuck in my concept of what a schedule was. In the past, when I would begin a Bible reading schedule with a new one, after a couple of days, if they stopped responding, I would just keep sending them my daily enjoyments, kind of like on a regular routine basis. And in the end, it would just be a one-sided conversation with just a block of text on my side and nothing on their side. And obviously, something like this isn't sustainable, so it would kind of fall apart. And I realized I was reading for my own sense of self-fulfillment, or even just reading to completion. So in this case, as finals week approached, I realized that she was definitely overwhelmed. So instead of just doing what I would normally would have done, I chose to like put a pause on our Bible reading and just ask her how she was doing. And she responded to that. So that was, even though it was really small, it was still an encouragement to me because it was an indication that she was still open. Amen. So at this point, even though we haven't finished Galatians, I was adjusted in my regimented definition of what a Bible reading schedule is. Amen. Even though having a consistent schedule is still ideal, I realized that you need to be flexible to match the person that you're reading with. And even in my consideration of what to share, or even how small this experience is, the Lord showed me that even the smallest thing can become a hindrance to Him. Like the brothers shared, that leaf blocking the sun, or the paper blocking the electric current. Even the smallest matter, just even our concept or definition, which might be right of what a schedule is, can really be a blocking to Him. And even no matter is too small for the Lord to prune. So my prayer is just, Lord, may we be open to your pruning work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So fruit bearing really becomes a test to our flexibility. Do we insist on our way, what we like? And it also becomes a test to our availability. Oftentimes we say we're too busy. I have to take care of this and that. But time is actually according to our desire. If we desire something, we will make time for it. If we desire to bear fruit, we will make time for it. And actually, we will also be flexible to the ones we're taking care of. And parents can attest to this, that when they start to have a child, their schedule starts to change according to their child. So the child becomes the most important part of their schedule. When we start to take care of others, we no longer need to take care of our own selves according to our time, according to our preference, but we have to learn to adjust to the ones we're taking care of. When do they want to be fed? When do they need someone to talk to? When do they want to go out and eat? So really, fruit bearing tests us in our disposition. Are we willing to go against ourselves? And it also tests us in our time. Are we willing to be open to the Lord to make time to care for others? So hallelujah. I know I spoke fast, but I'd like to just conclude with 3 points. We shouldn't be afraid of the Father's pruning. The Father's pruning just makes us healthier branches to become fruitful branches. And actually, we shouldn't be afraid of His light, and we don't need to manufacture our own light. And lastly, as our brother Jalen pointed out, pruning is a constant thing. We don't go to the Lord once and everything gets pruned. But we need to go to the Lord again and again. And at different times in our lives, different things come up to become a hindrance and a blockage. And it's those things that we need to go to the Lord to deal with Him for it to be cut off, so that we can be fresh shoots. Amen. We can be fruit-bearing branches in the vine. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How about we pray with the ones next to us?